Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Starbucks employees are back on the job after a five-day strike that their union says saw 5,000 baristas walk off the job. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says the Amazon strike is on what its organizers called a pause.
The Teamsters Union tells us that delivery workers picketed at more than 200 Amazon locations nationwide, seeking better pay and better working conditions. Amazon insists that the strike didn't have any impact on operations and delivery of holiday packages.
Holiday spending was up by 4% this year compared to last, according to MasterCard's Spending Pulse. That's from the period running November 1st through Christmas Eve. President Biden departing Washington today for St. Croix, a family vacation as he enters his final weeks in office. And as Democrats try to chart the way forward, Marianne Williamson, who sought the party's nomination for president in the last three elections, says she is running for chair of the Democratic National Committee. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin court officials say mental health evaluations for people facing criminal charges are taking longer. According to Department of Health Services data, the number of people facing charges who were ordered to be evaluated for competency has grown from about 1,600 to 2,600 over the last 5 years. The number of people ordered to undergo treatment to restore competency has seen a similar increase. Officials say the DHS needs more funding to continue growing competency services and the mental health workforce. A coalition of environmental and citizen groups are calling on state lawmakers to invest nearly $1 billion in clean water infrastructure in the next two-year budget. Over 30 groups signed on to the letter calling for a $953 million investment for infrastructure improvements, the release of $125 million for PFAS cleanup, and for policy changes to protect access to safe drinking water. The letter referenced water systems with high levels of PFAS contamination and lead service lines that need to be replaced. A new Duluth shelter aimed at helping young adults experiencing homelessness is scheduled to open next month. The Another Door shelter will be able to accommodate up to 12 younger adults between the ages of 18 and 24 and will provide them with employment and education support services. The $1.6 million shelter aims to help those young people find reliable housing and job security to keep them from falling into a cycle of long-term housing instability. The shelter will be operated by Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota. The Barron County Plan Commission is considering a rezoning proposal by Burton Farm Development with the goal of addressing housing and child care needs. The organization has proposed selling small portions of the Burton Family Trust property in Rice Lake for things like an apartment building, daycare center, and strip malls. County officials say there are nearly 1,000 open positions in the workforce that haven't been filled because the county needs more housing and child care options. The request will be considered on Thursday night. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers headed to the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Vikings Sunday. Game time now 3:25 in Minnesota. Green Bay clinched his spot in the playoffs after beating the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs excited to finally reach the postseason as a Packer after 5 years with the Raiders.
You got games in front of you. You know, we still fighting, you know, trying to be as best of a team that we can be. We finally put a complete game together. That's something that we've been hunting since the beginning of the season. I mean, it just feels like our ceiling is keep going up.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game, New Year's Eve, on the road at Providence. Senior forward David Joplin scored 19 in their win over Xavier. Joplin now has over 1,000 points in his career with the Golden Eagles.
He scored a lot of points. I'm grateful for him. You know, anytime you have someone that's scored over 1,000 points at the same school, you know, that you're just grateful that he's been around that long and that we got, you know, two-thirds of our season left with him.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today, but it is going to be a little warmer with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more fog and drizzle, 35. Tomorrow, cloudy and warmer with scattered areas of light rain. Our high tomorrow, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Greetings and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. I am not Jane Matt Nair, nor am I Greg Bach, but I am Dan Schaefer, and I'm here as your guest host this morning on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so much for joining us. If you are unfamiliar with me and my work, I am a regular guest here on Matt Nair on Air. I join the show every Friday at 11 a.m. to recombobulate because I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area. It's a weekly opinion column and online publication based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, it is named after the goofy post-security area at the Milwaukee airport where you're discombobulated, you get through security, you're getting your shoes, you're getting your bags, you're getting all your things, and you take a moment, you take a seat, you piece everything together. And I think, you know, that's what I'm hoping to bring to you today on Matt Nair on Air. It's, you know, Christmas can be discombobulating for a lot of people. So we're going to recombobulate here on Matt Nair on Air. Calvin is on the board. It is the day after Christmas. You know, this day always has a certain specific feel to it, doesn't it, Calvin?
Yeah, it always is kind of weird. It's almost, it's this little empty around the station and... yeah, all the excitement of the holidays is over. So, yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's like almost like there's, you know, there's all the build up to the holidays coming up to Christmas, coming up to, you know, Hanukkah, whatever you might be celebrating this time of year. And, you know, the day after Christmas is always it has a certain specific feel to it. It's, you know, it's like I think of it like it's you know, when you get married. Right. Yeah. Everything is building up to the wedding and building up to the wedding. And you're thinking about the wedding and you're doing all of these things and you get married and it happens and it goes through and you, you know, hey, you have a great time. And then the next day it's just like, all right, what now? You wake up and you look around and you try to make sense of the world, that you're now in and you're, And it's just kind of this letdown feel. It has a specific feel to it. So asking the listeners today, if you want to be part of the conversation with us, join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Again, that is 855-752-4842. So what do you like to do on December 26th? Are you immediately headed back to the stores? You know, going back, maybe using a couple gift cards, going shopping. Are you spending a couple extra days with family? Maybe you traveled a great distance to get to where you're going and spending a little extra time this week between Christmas and New Year's to spend that time with family. Is today a travel day for you? Are you on the road? Are you making your way across the state, listening to us here on the Civic Media Network, spending your morning with us as you make your way to your next destination or make it back to where you're going? Maybe you, slept with your family at your parents' house, something like that, making your way to your next destination. Is that how you're spending your day? Do you have any other specific traditions that you might like to spend on December 26th? Or are you just ready to be done with it? You're ready to turn the page. Maybe you're sick of all that Christmas music, you know, that you've been hearing nothing but since Thanksgiving. Maybe you're ready to flip your dial back to some regular regular scheduled music. Your Spotify playlist is maybe a little bit more populated with, you know, just regular music and not the Christmas music that it might be. Let us know in the comments if you're watching on the live stream. Let us know on the talk and text line. Again, that's 855-752-4842. And I am your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area, which is now part of the Civic Media Network. So if you're unfamiliar with me and my work, go check out the recombobulationarea.news. We've got the most recent article that I posted there was our year in review piece. So you can take a look back at all of the kind of standout stories that we were able to put together throughout the course of the year, myself and the regular contributors at the Recombobulation Area. Lots of great stuff this year. Obviously, an election year, so a lot of it had to do with the 2024 campaign, with the election, with the convention in Milwaukee, with the RNC in Milwaukee, the DNC in Chicago. New maps that we had this year, that was obviously a big deal in the state and something that we have covered quite a bit at the Recombobulation Area over the years. So if you want to check out what we're all about, come check out that year in review. So I have it. The title of that one is 2024, the year in recombobulation. So if you're discombobulated on the year that was, you want to recombobulate yourself, come on back, check out our year in recombobulation issue. You know, certainly a very busy year for me, having a front row seat to so many of the things that happened over the course of the year. And in this, you know, right in the middle of things here in Wisconsin, here in southeastern Wisconsin. And we're broadcasting today out of Radio Park in Racine. So if you have thoughts on the year that was, on the big stories of the year, on what really stood out to you, give us a call, shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. And if you have thoughts on what's going on December 26th, how this feels the day after Christmas, it's almost, you know, maybe you're piecing some things back together after a busy day. I know I'm a parent of young children, so Christmas is extraordinarily busy for us. And I have young kids, and it's very exciting on Christmas morning. But it can be very exhausting on the parents to get up at ridiculous hours for the kids who want to get down to that Christmas tree and open those presents. So I know my kids were ready to go in the morning on Christmas morning at about 5, which was entirely too early for me. Just in general, I'm not a morning person at all. 5 o'clock is the middle of the night as far as I'm concerned. But the kids were ready to go, get ready to open those gifts from Santa under the tree very, very early in the morning. So a little bit of an exhaustion toward the end of that day. Last night I was pretty beat after a very long day with the kids, but they were so excited. They got some great presents that were on their list. They sent a couple letters to Santa in the days and weeks before. So that was very exciting. So it was a very great Christmas for us. And now, you know, now turning the page, it's December 26th. We're back to work. We're getting after it. Busy day for all of us here. So let us know how you're spending your December 26th. Are you driving around doing some next day Christmas shopping, maybe making some returns? Maybe that sweater didn't fit. Maybe that, you know, you're trying to use that gift card. Let us know what you're up to, how you're spending your December 26th. And we are glad that you are spending it with us here at Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Regular Matt and Air on Air listeners might know me as I join the show every Friday at 11. And today I am guest hosting as well. We have a couple guests that will be joining us over the course of the program today. At 11 a.m., we'll be joined by Civic Media's own Luke Mathers. Luke and I will recombobulate on a number of things. And you might know that Luke and I are both very big fans of the Milwaukee Bucks. So even though they did not play on Christmas Day yesterday, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks. They play tonight in Milwaukee against the Brooklyn Nets, so that's going to be a fun one. But, you know, they didn't get a chance to play on Christmas Day. First year in quite a while that the Bucks did not play on Christmas Day. So that's going to be, you know, kind of an interesting thing to talk about. You know, are they overlooking the most exciting? Is the NBA overlooking the most exciting player in the league, Giannis Antetokounmpo, by not scheduling the Bucks on Christmas Day? Interesting. But, you know, there was also a lot of football yesterday, too. Seems like the NFL is trying to come in on the NBA's territory on having those Christmas Day games. So we'll talk to Luke a little bit about that. Talked about where the Milwaukee Bucks are at this stage of the season. And we're also going to be joined this morning at 10:30 by Alice Herman, who is a writer at The Guardian. She wrote a very big story that was just published late last week, and I want to make sure that this story gets the attention that it deserves. So the headline for this is: Major Trump donors who complained of immigrant invasion used Mexican workers illegally, sources allege. So this exclusive report from Alice Herman and her team, another writer in for The Guardian, wrote this story. This was published last Friday, December 20th. So this is still pretty fresh. And if you are unfamiliar with Uline is based in southeastern Wisconsin in Pleasant Prairie. It is a big and growing, kind of shipping packaging empire that they have been growing in southeastern Wisconsin. Office and shipping supply company. It is owned by billionaires Dick and Liz Uline. Dick and Liz Uline are the founders of this company, and they are some of the biggest donors in the country for political causes. They actually spent more this election cycle than even Elon Musk, funding Republican candidates and conservative causes around the country. And so I think, you know, as many of the ads run by the super PAC, run by Liz and Dick Uline, many of those ads were about, you know, what was happening on the border, as so many of those ads were. And so it's going to be interesting to have a conversation with Alice here to talk about what is going on at Uline in terms of using immigrant labor over the course of their business there. So we will be talking to Alice at about 10:30. We'll be talking to Luke Luke Mathers will join the show just in the 11 o'clock hour. And I am going to be taking your calls, listening to your texts throughout the show here. And we're excited for all of you to be joining us this morning on Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Network. Again, my name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host today, and we are encouraging you to call and text, join the show, have a conversation. Let us know what you're up to on this December 26th, this day after Christmas, as the tinsel cloud clears. we get back to our regularly scheduled programming after the Christmas holiday here. So thank you so much for joining us here on Matt and Air on Air. Stick with us. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we will be headed to break right about now. Stick with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air with your guest host, me, Dan Schaefer.
Listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate.
Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us today on your December 26th, the day after Christmas. We're recombobulating here on Matt and Air on Air. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And I am your guest host this morning on Matt and Air on Air. And we are recombobulating after, you know, perhaps a discombobulating stretch for many people, or at least a busy one with the Christmas holiday just in our rearview mirror. So, you know, this day after Christmas has a certain specific feel to it. And whether you're, you know, getting right back into the stores, doing some holiday shopping, whether you're headed back to work, whether you're spending some extra time with family, whether you're traveling, maybe you're headed to the actual recombobulation area, spending some time there and going through Milwaukee's airport on your way back home today. We are glad you're joining us here on the Civic Media Network. You know, and we want you guys to let us know what you're up to today as well. So let us know what you're doing on your December 26th. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. Join the conversation. We're live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, on the platform formerly known as Twitter. And we are getting ready for a great show here for you today. We've got a couple guests that are going to be joining us. Luke Mathers of Civic Media is going to be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour to talk about a whole host of different things, but in particular, the Milwaukee Bucks. As you might know, Luke and I are both big fans of the Milwaukee Bucks. So we're going to be talking about Bucks. We're going to be talking about some of the news of the day when Luke joins us in the second hour of the show after 11 o'clock. And at 10:30, we're going to be joined by Alice Herman, who, along with another writer, Stephanie Kirchgasser, she'll have to make sure that I got the pronunciation correct on that byline there. But Alice wrote this story late last week for The Guardian, about a major Wisconsin employer and major Republican political donor. The headline for this piece is "Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally," sources allege. And I'm going to just go ahead and read you the first couple paragraphs of this story so that you understand what exactly is going on here, because I think this is a pretty big deal. This is a big story. You know, those stories that can be published on a Friday before Christmas, they can often end up in kind of news dump territory. So as a longtime print media journalist myself. So I worked for BizTimes Milwaukee, Milwaukee Business Journal, Milwaukee Magazine, a number of different places over the course of my career as a journalist in and around Milwaukee. And when certain people, whether it's a business, you know, maybe doing some layoffs, or a politician trying to bury some bad news, Those often end up in stories that break late on a Friday when maybe some journalists or others maybe aren't paying quite the same amount of attention. But I want to give a little bit more attention to this story that was published last week Friday, because I think this is a big deal. This is the type of story that I think Democrats should be talking more about. And I think it is, you know, it speaks to an issue for those of you who've been listening over the course of the morning. This was a big topic on the Earl Ingram Show. Before I joined on the air here for Matt Nair on Air. And I think, you know, the immigration issue and the Donald Trump's promises of mass deportation in a second Trump term, you know, not only is this extremely troubling, but it is, I think we have to look at this in terms of solutions to an immigration issue as well. And look at who are the problematic actors in this as well. So I think you could talk about people on the individual level who are, you know, moving to people who are immigrating to places like Wisconsin. You know, there's a number of migrant workers who work on dairy farms and other farms throughout the state. You know, all sorts of other jobs that people might be moving to the United States for, moving to Wisconsin for, immigrating to this country to build a better life for themselves. But other, you know, there are companies that maybe have some perhaps hypocritical viewpoints on this. And I think the Uline company and the Liz and Dick Uline, the founders of the office and shipping supply company that is based here in southeastern Wisconsin, they are the focus of this story because they are some of the biggest political donors in the country. They actually spent more backing Republicans and backing conservative causes in the 2024 election cycle than even the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. So I'll just read through for you the first couple paragraphs from this story from Alice Herman at The Guardian. So first, a company owned by two of Donald Trump's mega donors has routinely brought dozens of its workers from Mexico to staff its warehouses in Wisconsin and other locations, even though they do not appear to have permission to work in the United States, according to a Guardian investigation. Uline, a giant Wisconsin-based office and shipping supply company controlled by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, shuttles in its own workers from Mexico, who are using tourist visas and visas meant for employees who are entering the U.S. temporarily to receive professional training known as B-1 visas. But instead of being part of a dedicated training program, the Mexican employees stay for 1 to 6 months and, sources with direct knowledge of the matter allege, perform work in Uline's U.S. warehouses. Lawyers and immigrant advocates told The Guardian they believe the alleged practice is likely illegal and could be exploitative of the workers enrolled in the program. The company has allegedly used employees without proper work permits, even as Dick Uline's Super PAC, Restoration PAC, supported Trump's presidential campaign with a TV advertisement attacking his opponent Kamala Harris for allowing an immigrant, quote, invasion at the U.S.-Mexico border. So we're going to be talking about that with Alice Herman after the break here at 10:30. She's the author of this piece at The Guardian. I think this is an important one. I think this one we should be paying close attention to, because as we talk about money in politics, we talk about the messages that we saw so often during the campaign season here in the state of Wisconsin. I think it's important to take a close look at what they're up to. And I think given how big the immigration and border issue has been over the course of this campaign and what it portends for a second Trump term, I think practices like this warrant some real closer look. So we're going to get into that after the break with Allison Herman of The Guardian. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host today, Dan Schaefer. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Starting next week, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will be celebrating the 125th anniversary of the state park system. The DNR is planning a number of events across the state to celebrate the milestone anniversary, beginning with First Day Hikes on January 1st. Information on which parks near you will be hosting a hike can be found on the DNR's website. 2025 will also see new state park pass rules, with stickers now valid for 12 months from the time they were purchased instead of through the end of the year. A Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources rule banning the carrying of firearms while fishing has been temporarily lifted. Last week, the Republican-controlled Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules announced the change and reiterated their intent to make that change permanent in the future. The rule was the subject of a lawsuit against the DNR by a conservative legal group, and the agency agreed to repeal the rule as part of a settlement agreement. The DNR is still reminding anglers it's illegal to shoot fish even with the rule change. Congressman Tom Tiffany says he's planning to reintroduce a bill to designate the Apostle Islands as the first national park in Wisconsin in the next legislative session. Congressman Tiffany first unveiled the bill in July, sparking criticism from Bayfield County officials expressing concerns that the area would not be able to accommodate the expected increase in tourism with the national park designation. Congressman Tiffany later said he would look at amending the bill to address some of those concerns before reintroducing it. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for input from the community on the Chippewa Flowage Joint Agency Management Plan. According to a press release, the involved agencies are asking community members to share how they use the flowage and input on what updates they would like to see added to the plan. The Chippewa Flowage is an over 15,000-acre impoundment in Sawyer County with about 200 undeveloped islands in it. Public comments can be submitted to the Department of Natural Resources online. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for things to do between Christmas and New Year's, there is lots to see in the theaters at the moment. If you're looking for a well-reviewed musical biopic where the lead character is a monkey, the film Better Man might be for you. It tells the story of the meteoric rise of British pop sensation and former boy band member Rob Williams and his fall from grace. If you're wondering why they made him a monkey in the film, it's because Williams says he always felt less evolved and because when he's on stage, he sometimes feels like a monkey. One of the weirdest trailers I've ever seen, but it is getting good reviews. Other films that open on Christmas Day include The Fire Inside, about a female boxer from Flint, Michigan, who becomes the first woman to win gold in the sport at the Olympics. Great reviews. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, starring Timothée Chalamet, is currently in theaters and is also incredibly well-reviewed and is getting Oscar buzz. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Damp and dreary today. As warmer temperatures start to move in, we're dealing with patchy fog, spotty sprinkles, and widespread rain. Continuing throughout the overnight and into tomorrow afternoon, we are looking at accumulations around a quarter of an inch. And high temperatures climbing to the low 40s for Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 29 degrees.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eyezervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Eyezervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Eyezervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Eyezervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Eyezervay today.
Eyezervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Eyezervay.com. That's Eyezervay.com.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so much for joining us here across the Civic Media Network. I am not Jane Mattenair, nor am I Greg Bach, but I am Dan Schaefer, and I am your guest host this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Era and the political editor here at Civic Media. And we are talking today a little bit about immigration policy and how that impacts and how that's playing out with some of Trump's biggest donors who own a company here in Wisconsin. And so we were just talking, I was just reading a few, a little bit from this story before the break here. And we are now joined by the author of this story, Alice Herman of The Guardian. Alice, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Mattenair on Air.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
So as we were discussing before the break here, you wrote this story. I think this story is a pretty big deal. So the headline again is major Trump donors who complained of immigrant invasion used Mexican workers illegally, sources allege. So, Alice, tell me about this story. Tell me about what you and your colleagues at The Guardian found in reporting this piece.
So sources contacted The Guardian with a tip about a program that Uline was allegedly running within their company, where they would bring workers from their facilities in Mexico to staff the warehouses in the US, so in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And what we were initially told was that the workers who were coming up to do wage labor in those warehouses, allegedly, were working on visas that would not have permitted them to do that type of, to do wage labor at all. And, you know, over the course of this investigation, we were able to talk to workers who confirmed that they had come on tourist visas, who had been told that they were coming to the U.S. To do professional training, which would be permitted, but then described basically doing warehouse work and not in, in doing the same kind of work that their American counterparts, their U.S. counterparts were doing, but in fact for the same wages they were making in Mexico. And we weren't able to track down the specifics on that, except that, you know, the wage allegedly was the same as the wage they were making in Mexico, plus maybe a certain travel bonus. But that was sort of the gist of the story that we were able to get from sources who were familiar with this program, which was called the Shuttle Support Program. And then we were able to corroborate with workers who had participated in it, and looking at some internal documents from the company as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So so walk me through what a normal process for this might look like if this was, you know, a completely above board. So these people who are migrating from Mexico essentially for employment purposes, right? So they're these B1 visas would be for job training, right? So if the people who were coming were going to be trained for a job, that would be part of that particular visa program. But what your story is saying is that that's what they thought was going to happen, but that's not what happened in practice. Is that correct?
So we don't know, you know, we don't know if every worker was aware of exactly what they'd be doing in the U.S. It's totally possible that there are people who had, who knew that they were going to be working in the warehouse, but who had an implicit understanding that they were to tell border officials that they were going to be here for professional training. And just like for a little context, the type of training that a B1 visa would typically allow, according to the lawyers that we talked to, would be like a workshop or some kind of certification program. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin-based immigration lawyer that I talked to was initially skeptical of the prospect of blue-collar workers who are in a warehouse coming up for up to 6 months at a time to participate in a professional training. Like it didn't add up for him. And then with, you know, all of the evidence that we were looking at, he said that he thought it was almost certainly illegal.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Alice Herman, who is a writer from The Guardian, who just wrote this piece on the multimillionaire founders of Uline, billionaires Uline, Liz and Dick Uline, the owners of the Wisconsin-based Uline company. The story said, again, the headline for the story, major Trump donors who complained of immigrant invasion used Mexican workers illegally, sources alleged. So obviously this was a big issue in the campaign. And this was a big issue that that the U-Lines in particular, you know, funded. How do you see what their rhetoric is in some of these campaign ads and how that fits with what they are doing as a company at U-Line?
So we were able to find one ad that was an anti-Harris attack ad that said that she had opened the border and allowed for, and the language that they used was for an invasion, which is, you know, inflammatory anti-immigrant rhetoric and exactly the same type of rhetoric that Trump used on the campaign trail. But that was just one ad. But
yeah, we heard a lot of that rhetoric over the past 12 months, haven't we?
A lot of that rhetoric. Yeah. And that was the immigration and the border was Trump's top issue. And so the fact that the U-Lines donated more than $100 million to in support of Trump's campaign, I think tells you that it, the very least, that kind of rhetoric wasn't disqualifying for them. And they even funded a commercial that that embraced that type of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Washington Post or somebody like that. They kind of ran through the list of the top donors of the whole election cycle. And I think the U-Lines came in second, which was ahead of Elon Musk. So I think there's so many people right now in the wake of this election talking about Elon Musk and his influence on the Trump campaign, on the campaign more broadly. But right in our backyard here in the Midwest, you know, the owners of one of the biggest companies in the region, biggest employers in the region, they are, you know, central to this conversation, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, looking for, you know, staff at their warehouses or whatever it might be. And it seems like this shuttle support program kind of flies in the face of what a lot of those, you know, campaign ads seem to suggest. And I think, you know, I wonder what type of, if this is maybe the tip of the iceberg on something here, right? Was that the kind of what you seem to come across in this reporting as well?
I don't think we know how far this goes. We're certainly open to tips and have, as soon as the story ran, started hearing from people who wanted to talk more. But yeah, I mean, who knows how far this goes? What we understand is this program at least went on for about 3 years. We haven't heard anything from the company, so we don't know, you know, if they are continuing to run the program, if they've abandoned it. You know, we reached out to them with an extremely detailed list of questions about the story and didn't, and they told, through a spokesperson, they told us they were not going to comment. So, and we haven't heard anything since the story ran either. I did want to just say one thing about the U-Lines and how, you know, they donated even more than Musk and just their power and influence. I think in Wisconsin, for people who are following the news, like U-Line, or even if you're just like, buy office supplies, U-Line is a big name.
Right.
But I think
those catalogs in the mail, right? Yeah.
I know. But I think compared to other like GOP mega donors, they have flown somewhat under the radar. They're not a household name like the Koch brothers, but because I think it's important to mention this, they, and in particular Dick U-Line, have donated incredible sums of money to the conservative movement and in particular to far right causes. So for example, after January 6th, it came out, I think it was WBEZ in Chicago who first broke this story that Dick U-Line had bankrolled the group Tea Party Patriots, which was one of the organizations that orchestrated the march to the Capitol that, you know, devolved into or turned into an insurrectionary riot. So there are countless other examples of far right politicians that the U-Line family has backed. So it's just, I think it's notable and kind of remarkable how much money they're willing to throw around and the fact that they are directing their money into really far right causes as well.
Yeah, and I think their sphere of influence seems to have grown pretty considerably over the years as well. And I was, you know, just from, you know, being in political media and following selling these types of things in Wisconsin over the years. I think they were one of Ron Johnson's biggest donors early in his political career. I think they were his single biggest donor in his 2016 re-election campaign. The U-Lines get very involved in state legislative races in Wisconsin as well. I know that they made a huge donation to the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee late in that cycle that I think really helped those Republicans who were able to, you know, keep the Republican majority in the state assembly as well. And it just seems like, I think there was a New York Times piece a few years ago saying that, you know, they're the kind of the quiet Trump donors and quiet, they seem not so quiet anymore, right? And I think stories like this one really invites more scrutiny of the type of practices that they bring at Uline as well, does it not?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And you're right that they are not only involved in national politics. It seems like there's a particular interest in Wisconsin politics, to a certain extent, Illinois politics as well. I know that Dick Uline was putting money behind a gubernatorial candidate a few years ago in Illinois. And just in 2023, his super PAC was spending really lavishly on Dan Kelly's state Supreme Court race. So
that's right.
I think we should all be looking out for where and if he's spending money on the next state Supreme Court election this year or in 2025.
Certainly. And I think, you know, sometimes when I tweet about this, I'll get some Republicans in my mentions that will say, oh, you know, Democrats have a lot of billionaire donors, too. And yeah, those billionaire donors should be scrutinized as well. But I think we cannot overlook what's happening in the U-Lines and their sphere of influence as well, because, you know, they own a large company in Wisconsin. They are based in the Midwest. They, you know, I think they were the single biggest donor backing Eric Hovde in the Senate campaign in their the restoration PAC that you mentioned in this piece as well. So if there's, you know, if there was a Democratic counterpart doing something similar, being the second biggest donor in the country during an election cycle, I think that should invite scrutiny as well. I think that should, you know, we should be having, you know, you should be having investigative stories like what you put together at the Guardian as well about them. But I think because, you know, and so I don't think the U-Lines should be looked over just because, you know, oh, they're, you know, they're backing conservative candidates. Why aren't you looking at both sides? Well, we're looking at these individuals and this company because their influence is really, really growing. And they are becoming one of the major players in kind of the Trump era of Republican politics. And I think, again, stories like this just show the complexity of immigration law, for one. And I think if you can stick around after the break, I'd like to talk a little bit further about some of the details of that aspect as well. But I think we can't overlook the importance of just looking at what the U-Lines are doing on a day-to-day basis. And I think, you know, as Trump is stacking his cabinet with billionaire after billionaire after billionaire, we should be looking at what Dick and Liz Uline are doing in the Midwest and doing in Wisconsin as well, because it's not just, you know, high profile people like Elon Musk who are influencing our politics as well. We might not see a tweet from Dick Uline or, you know, a campaign stump speech from Liz Uline, but they are incredibly influential individuals, not only on a national scale, but here in Wisconsin. They get involved in those Senate races. They get involved in those state Supreme Court races. They get involved in the state Senate, state assembly. And we should be, like this piece does, we should be critical of their efforts as well. So Alice Herman of The Guardian is our guest here. She's going to stick with us for one more segment to talk more about this latest piece. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. We'll be right back.
Well, I can tell your plan, you're to heed my words. Down on your knees, oh, shit.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Come on.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. We are joined for this segment of the show by Alice Herman of The Guardian, who wrote a really important piece that was published last week. The headline, Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally. An exclusive report, experts believe the alleged shuttle support program used by Uline, a company owned by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, is likely illegal and exploitative of workers. Alice, I think we were talking before about the political influence of the Ulines themselves. But I want to talk a little bit about what you found about what the practice of what this company is doing in this shuttle support program. I think a lot of us can get pretty confused by the legalese of it all when it comes to these immigration issues, because it's very complicated, and it's not just, you know, filling out the right form or whatever it might be when it comes to immigration. There's a lot of complexity to the system. So can you break that side of this piece down for us, at least, you know, what the Ulines are doing with these programs, this shuttle support program, how it should be used, how they're using it, and what you found and learned over the course of this report?
So what we heard from immigration lawyers and labor lawyers was just that it would probably be hard to run this kind of program above board. Like, it is really hard to get a work visa in the U.S., whether you're coming as regardless of the type of labor that you're doing. And it's hard for employers to secure work visas for employees. I'm not an immigration law expert, but that was the gist of, that was like basically the understanding that I came away with from conversations with people who are experts in that area. And so part of the story is that, like, we don't have clear and functional avenues for workers to be in the U.S. like legally and able to exercise their rights as workers here the way that a U.S. citizen or resident would be able to. It's just there aren't a lot of avenues for workers to seek that or for employers to seek that. And so this alleged program was, if it was happening the way that our sources were describing it and the way that we understood it to be happening, was just, would have been, the lawyers we talked to said it would have just been totally flaunting that law by, instead of trying to go through what would probably be a very complicated process that may not have, you know, yielded results, instead hiring workers on visas that don't permit work.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what I think people don't get about this immigration issue is that it is not just like if somebody wants to come here and get a job in Wisconsin for Uline or whatever it might be, it's not just like filling out the right paperwork and doing the right thing. It's just there's not the same number of paths to citizenship that I think people might understand. And I think that is, you know, I think the Trump campaign and the Republican Party really exploited the fact that this is a really complicated process, and they just really tried to oversimplify the issue and say, hey, we need mass deportations, we need this, that, and the other thing. But I think there's so much complexity in this system, and I think that, you know, it seems like from what your reporting is suggesting is that Uline is essentially using this kind of loophole almost in the system to profit from it and to get additional, you know, to hire people in ways that are probably not legal, but it's hard to say. It's like this gray area.
So if this program is what our sources told us it is, and if it, which is to say, if they are hiring people on tourist visas or B1 visas to come to the US and work in the warehouses, that would likely not even be a gray area. That would likely just be,
it would just be illegal. Yeah. So,
and I just wanted to make one other really quick point about, you know, we don't know if every worker knew, you know, we don't know whether they were told you're going to be here for training. We don't know if some people were told you're not training, but tell border officials that you're here for training. What we know is that there was an implicit understanding that workers were to, what sources told us was that there's an implicit understanding that workers were to tell border officials that they're coming here to do one thing, when in fact they ended up in the US doing something entirely different, which also raised questions with some of the advocates that we talked to about whether this might have constituted labor trafficking, because if a worker is being told that they're coming to the US to do something and then they're here doing something else, like we don't know all of the details of how free the workers were to move as they pleased while they were in the US. We don't know whether they were holding on to their own passports or whether the company was. There are a lot of questions that the advocates that we talked to flagged for labor trafficking as well. I just wanted to highlight that.
It's a really important issue, and I think this is some terrific reporting that you've shined a light on an important issue here as well. So once again, Alice Herman of The Guardian, the piece is "Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally, Sources Allege." I encourage you all to take a look and spend some time with that one. I think it's an important report. Alice, thank you so much for joining us here on Matt and Air on Air.
Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with Luke Mathers after the break.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants.
three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There are new questions around the cause of the plane crash in Kazakhstan Wednesday that killed at least 38 people. 29 survived, but there are questions about Russian air defenses that were in the region. The flight was bound for Russia from Azerbaijan before diverting to Kazakhstan. ABC's Inez de la Cotera has more.
Russia had recently defended the area from Ukrainian drone attacks. When asked whether the plane may have been fired upon by air defenses, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters it would be wrong to speculate before the investigation is complete.
The Labor Department's weekly jobs numbers show the highest number of people collecting unemployment benefits since November of 2021. That's a 1.91 million person total for the week of December 14th. President Biden and his family heading to the Virgin Islands for vacation. He's in the final weeks of his term. A former challenger says she wants to reinvent the party. Marianne Williamson running for chair of the DNC. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.